Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
Hey, I'm Gary with another life hack. Do you ever want to waterproof your shoes? Get some house wax. Rub it on there. Rub it real good. Now watch. Water just beads right off.
All you need is a Kroger bag. And now you got waterproof shoes. See?
Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
How many people are sad this is our last sermon in the Life Hack series? Oh, man. What did you learn more from Joey and Gary and Leslie or the preachers? You don't have to answer that. Before we walk into the sermon, I want to give us an update on the adventure campaign. We are excited about what we have so far. We have 160 families that have pledged. We have our current pledges total. So this is what people have pledged in. $1,850,405. I think it's like 32 cents. No, I don't know. We have already received $432,573. So let's praise the Lord for that. For those who do not know, the Adventure Campaign is essentially what we're investing in so that we're investing in this church for the next 50 years. And so in Arlington, they don't work already, meeting with the contractor and builders so that we can get that new building built. With the bridge, we had a service last night at 5. It was our first kind of preview service. So we had a great time with there. We got to worship together, and we had some people present who aren't members of Advent, who this was their first time on campus, so we're excited about that. So there's a lot happening there, and so I want to encourage you, if you have not pledged toward the Adventure campaign, this you still have time to do it. You can pledge, and if you've already given, but you want to give more, you could do that too. The Lord will love it. All right, so yeah, things are moving forward, and we're excited about it. But today is our last sermon in our series on life hacks. And today I want to dive into one of the most important life hacks I believe God offers us. And that's how to build walls of self-control so that our lives don't fall apart. And this morning for our foundational text, I want to come from Proverbs 25, verse 28. And it reads like this. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. I want to title this message this morning, Build a Wall. Build a Wall. Or what the title said up there. I had like three titles. It's all good. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today. We're grateful, Father, that you are with us, that you walk with us, that you care about us. And Lord, I thank you that you've been preparing hearts for this moment. You've been preparing my heart for this moment. So, Father, I pray, God, that you are glorified. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let me ask you something. Have you ever watched something that was once strong slowly fall apart? Not because of a catastrophic blow, but because of small, consistent compromises. You know, a dam doesn't burst all at once. It starts with tiny leaks, silent cracks, and steady pressure. You know, a strong house doesn't fall from the top. It weakens at the foundation, brick by brick, until collapse becomes inevitable. You know, a bridge, it doesn't collapse because of a single car. It's the weight of car after car, day after day, that exposes the hidden fault lines. And if we're honest, some of us are carrying emotional, spiritual, and relational weight we were never meant to bear. Not because we're weak people, but because our inner walls have been worn down. We look strong on the outside, but inside there are breaches. Places where boundaries have broken, where discipline has faded, where peace is leaking out. And if we don't rebuild those walls, the collapse is only a matter of time. Today, we're not just talking about protection. We're talking about preservation. We're not just building boundaries. We're actually building legacies with our lives. You know, there's a powerful scene in the movie The Great Wall, starring Matt Damon. The film takes place in ancient China, where an army is stationed along the Great Wall to protect the kingdom from these mysterious and hideous and destructive creatures. The wall isn't just a backdrop. It's the very thing keeping evil out and people alive. It's fortified. It's engineered with precision, and every soldier knows if even one section breaks, it's over. In the same way, the ancient city walls in biblical times were everything. They represented strength and dignity and security. A city without walls wasn't just exposed, it was doomed. That's why here in Proverbs 25:28, it says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. So this isn't just a proverb, it's a warning. Because when you don't govern your spirit, when you don't guard your decisions, you invite chaos into your life. Lack of self-control isn't just a weakness, it leaves you vulnerable. So whether you're a mom trying to hold the house together, whether you're a young adult trying to stay focused or a seasoned saint trying to finish strong, this message is for you. You may be here and you're a teenager and you're battling temptation. Maybe you're here and you're a single parent and you're trying to hold it together. Maybe you're another young person trying not to respond in a way in social media that will tarnish your reputation. Maybe that's you here. Or maybe you're a retiree trying not to live in bitterness from old wounds. This message is for you. We all struggle with boundaries. Maybe not all of us, but many of us have lost our temper, said something we shouldn't have said, or let our cravings overrule our convictions. This isn't just about anger or addiction. It's about discipline in every area of our lives, our mouths, our minds, our money, and our moods. Self-control is the gatekeeper of our lives, and if we don't build those walls, something or someone else will break in. Now, the writer of this proverb, Solomon, was the wisest man to ever live outside of Jesus. And he penned this proverb as part of a divine blueprint for how to live wisely. And hear me, Solomon didn't just write these words in theory. He wrote them from experience. He understood that the greatest threat to a kingdom isn't always an army outside the gates, but the chaos that's allowed to grow inside the heart. Just take a look at his life and the lives of the kings that came before him. You see, King Saul, the first king of the people of Israel, he looked the part. He was tall. He was handsome. He was strong. He had muscles, all that. He was like me. And so he, but he was chosen by God. But his downfall didn't come from an enemy. His downfall actually came from within. Pride swelled up within him. Impatience burned. He couldn't wait on God, so he moved ahead of God, and that one breach in the wall cost him the throne. Then we had King David, Israel's greatest warrior, a man after God's own heart. But his greatest defeat wasn't on the battlefield. His greatest defeat was actually in a bedroom. He lost control of his desire, and in a moment of weakness, he committed adultery. He murdered his friend and then tried to cover it up. And the ripple effects shook his household for generations. And then Solomon himself, so full of wisdom, he had queens from all over the world coming to hear him speak. But even he let his guard down. He opened the gates of his heart to compromise. His many wives pulled him toward idol worship, and the kingdom he built in glory ended up being divided in grief. Do you see it, church? These men weren't brought down by arrows or armies, but by appetites and attitudes they didn't keep in check. They didn't fall from the outside, they crumbled from within. Because when the inner walls of self-control collapse, everything else eventually comes crashing down. So he compares a person without self-control to a city with broken down walls. That's a loaded image. In Solomon's day, if your city didn't have strong walls, you were open to attack, you were open to theft, you were open to destruction. You were vulnerable to chaos. Likewise, without self-control, our emotions, our impulses and desires will run wild. We'll be easily manipulated, we'll be frequently defeated, and ultimately empty. So if you don't hear anything else I have to say today, hear this right here. This text is tailored to teach us self-control isn't just a personality trait. It's a spiritual defense system. And like any defense system, it must be built with intentionality. So how do we build the wall? How do we establish strong boundaries in a world that keeps pushing ours? I got four bricks for you, and then we are off to do stuff for VBS. All right, first we have, you have to understand that you ought to form a foundation of fear. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Self-control doesn't start with your strength. It starts with your surrender. It doesn't begin in your hands. It begins in your heart. And hear me, self-control starts with reverence for God. When you truly see God, when you don't just know about him, but you behold him in all of his holiness and all of his majesty and all of his power, it changes how you carry yourself. You realize that this life isn't yours to do whatever you want with it. Your body is his temple. Your mind is his majesty. Your spirit, his breath. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And when that truth settles in your soul, it shifts how you move. You don't just live for pleasure. You live for purpose. You don't just chase feelings. You follow the Father. You don't just do what feels good. You do what honors God. That's what fear of the Lord means. It's not a panic thing. It's not terror, but awe, respect, submission. It's waking up every day saying, God, you are holy. You are king, and I live to please you. That's what gives birth to discipline, not rules, but a reverence for the Lord. Not this pressure, but presence before a holy God. And when you live from that place, self-control stops feeling like a prison and starts feeling like a privilege. You're not holding back because you're weak. You're holding back because you're strong enough to follow God instead of your flesh. You're not bound, but you are actually anchored in the Lord. So yes, we resist temptation. Not just to say no, but because we already said yes. We said yes to something greater. Yes to his will. Yes to his way. Yes to his purpose. Because at the end of the day, self-control isn't about saying, I got this. It's about saying, God has me. I once heard of a man who kept a framed picture of his mentor on his desk. And every time he was tempted to compromise, he'd look at the photo and ask, would he be proud of this choice? Now imagine living every moment with that awareness that God not only sees you, but loves you. That's the fear of the Lord. It reminds you that God is not only watching, but also walking with you. What if every decision, reaction, and temptation was filtered through your reverence for God? Ask yourselves, is this thought, is this action or reaction honoring to God? That's how you begin laying the first brick of the wall. So you ought to form a foundation of fear. But then also, we need to learn how to master our mood. You see, Proverbs 16:32 says this, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. You see, this verse, it flips the world's wisdom upside down. You see, culture actually honors the conqueror, but God honors the person who can conquer themselves. The true power isn't in dominating others, but in ruling your own emotions. The world may celebrate the person who wins in external battles, but the one who masters their internal world holds a deeper, more lasting victory. Emotional mastery isn't repression. It's actually surrender. You don't bottle it up. You bring it under the lordship of Christ. This kind of maturity develops through repetition. So it develops when you start choosing patience over rage, when you actually choose the grace of the Lord over gossiping in a situation, When you are tempted to say something back, but you choose silence over sarcasm. Which, with each small choice, you create a habit of self-control that strengthens your character and draws you closer to Christ. And then over time, this process transforms you and from someone ruled by impulses to someone who stands firm in the peace of God, no matter the circumstance. When you conquer yourself, you don't just overcome your emotions. You align them with God's will, creating a life that reflects His strength and not your own. This is the power that builds walls of protection around your heart and your life. It was Soren Kierkegaard who said this. He once wrote this. The greatest hazard of all, losing oneself, can occur very quietly in the world as if nothing is happening at all. You know, many lose themselves daily to emotional chaos and impulsive reactions. One angry word, one reckless decision, one unguarded moment, and then something breaks. Rule your emotions before they ruin you. When you're in those situations, you need to pause and take a breath and pray. Man, I should take this on, but a few weeks ago, I think I made Karis upset. I was getting ready in the morning, and I don't know what I said to her, but she said, "Daddy, I'm taking a break. I'm taking a breath." I said, "All right, okay, well, as long as you're walking with it, I'm gonna learn how to do it too." But you need to ask yourself, is this worth my peace? Is this from my flesh or my spirit? And that's how warriors of wisdom actually live. So we ought to form a foundation of fear. We ought to master our mood. And third, we need to learn how to guard our gates. Pastor Joey's helped us with this a few weeks ago. Here in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." You see, your heart is the control center of your life. Everything flows from it, your thoughts, your decisions, your relationships, your habits. That's why Solomon says, above all else. This isn't optional. This is priority number one. What you feed your heart will eventually form your life. So garbage in, garbage out. You let hate in, hate will come out. You let jealousy in, jealousy will come out. You let lust in, lust will come out. However, when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, you allow grace to come in. So then grace goes out. You allow joy to come in. You allow peace to come in. Peace and joy go out. You allow love to come in, and love goes out. If you constantly feed your heart with fear and bitterness and insecurity, don't be surprised when anxiety, anger, and self-doubt show up in your daily walk. But when you fill your heart with God's truth, His promises, and His peace, you begin to walk differently. You speak differently. You live with a greater clarity and courage. A guarded heart is a grounded life. Now, y'all, I love my mama. She probably watching this now. She going to text it out to everybody in the family. Watch my baby. Okay. And but I noticed something recently. My family and I, we traveled to New Jersey, and I noticed something different while I was there. See, the mother, Ellen Peterson, and the grandmother, Ellen Peterson, I'm convinced, two different people. Two different people. So Karis was running in and out of the house, going on to the back porch and coming back in. Back porch, coming back in. Back porch, coming back in. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I know what the mother, Ellen Peterson, was about to say." But she kept looking at her, saying how cute she was, and, "Oh, that's my big, oh, you know, all this stuff." And I started thinking, now, if that was me, she would say, "Boy, stop running in and out of my house before you allow a fly to come in here." And so I got upset. Maybe y'all didn't have the same mother I did, but that's what my mom would have said to me. But then I started thinking about that. You ever been, maybe in the summertime, you left a window cracked or a door was open, the kid was opened the door and a fly was left in. Now you spend the next hour of your life chasing a fly, trying to kill it because it's disturbing your peace. You had a whole to-do list to do. You had all these things to get accomplished. But you're chasing a fly around because it's taunting you and you need to get this out. You are now distracted because of this fly. You know, that's what happens when we let things into our hearts unchecked. A small crack becomes a major distraction. A small crack becomes something that distracts us from what we're trying to get done. It turns into flies of bitterness, flies of jealousy, flies of fear, flies of lust swarm in if a door is left unguarded. So you ought to guard your inputs and your influences. I want to ask you, what are you watching? Who are you following? What are you scrolling through late at night? Set boundaries around your time, your thoughts, and relationships, because what you don't guard, the enemy will. Peace doesn't come from passivity. It comes from intentionality. Systems protect what discipline builds. Build wisely. Guard faithfully. The gate you guard today becomes the peace you enjoy tomorrow. So we need to form foundations of fear, master our mood, guard our gates. But lastly, we can't do any of that until we find strength from the Spirit. In Galatians 5, Paul is writing to the people, and he is showing them what happens when you walk by the Spirit and what happens when you walk in the flesh. He says, when you walk in the flesh, this is what comes. And he lists sins. But then when he says, when you walk by the Spirit, you actually start growing in the fruit of the Spirit. He names 9 fruits, and the 9th one is self-control. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now hear me, you don't grind your way to self-control. You actually grow in it. It's not just a matter of willpower, but of Spirit power. When you're connected to Christ, His Spirit begins to produce fruit in your life, including self-control. It's evidence of His presence, not just your effort. This means that true transformation doesn't come from trying harder. It comes from surrendering deeper. The more you walk with Jesus, the more your desires begin to shift. What used to tempt you loses its pull. What used to control you loses its grip. Self-control isn't just about saying no. It's about having a greater yes, and that yes is Jesus. That's why Paul calls self-control a fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of striving. You can't manufacture it with hustle. It matures through intimacy. It's not about gritting your teeth, but about growing in grace. And as the Spirit fills you, you begin to respond instead of react. You begin to discern instead of drift, and master your emotions instead of being mastered by them. Think of an apple tree. It doesn't strain or sweat to produce fruit. It just stays rooted, receives sunlight and water, and fruit comes naturally over time. Likewise, when you are rooted in God's word and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of self-control will grow. Oh, it was Maya Angelou who said this. She said, we may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. Self-control won't always come easy, but don't quit when it's hard. Keep showing up. Keep surrendering. The Spirit is working. So you ought to start your day with intention. Before you check your phone, check in with heaven. Say, Lord, lead my thoughts. Guard my mouth and anchor my emotions. Help me walk in step with your Spirit today. Because when the Spirit sets the pace, self-control follows. It's not about suppressing who you are. It's about surrendering who you are so that Christ can shine through. Friends, we started today by talking about the cracks in the wall, the small breaches that threaten to bring everything down. And we've seen that self-control isn't a side issue. It's actually the gatekeeper to the life that the Lord has for us. But here's the good news. You don't have to rebuild the wall alone, because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. And He's not just resurrecting what is broken. He's rebuilding what was lost, brick by brick, day by day, prayer by prayer, decision by decision. He's restoring your strength. He's fortifying your future. So today I'm asking you, where are your walls weak? Where have you let the enemy slip through a crack in your emotions, in your discipline, in your decisions? It's time to patch the breach, to guard your gates, to take back what chaos has claimed, because you're not just protecting your life, you're preserving your legacy. And I know this, that every mother, every father, every mentor, every man or woman of faith who has ever made it to the end with joy and strength, they didn't do it by accident. They built a wall. And church, the greatest wall ever built wasn't made of brick. The greatest wall ever built was made of blood. Because at the cross, Jesus took on our chaos, our brokenness, our sin, and built a wall of grace that the enemy cannot penetrate. Through his sacrifice, we're no longer defenseless. We are covered. We are sealed. We are secure. So let's respond to that grace by guarding what he's given. Let's rebuild what's been broken, and let's do it not in our strength, but in his. So let's build the wall, one prayer at a time, one brick at a time, and one decision at a time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you again this morning. We cannot say thank you enough for who you are, for how gracious you are, for how you show us the life that you want us to walk into, and then you guide us into it. Father, we are nothing without you. And so, Lord, as we receive your word, help us. Help us grow in self-control. Help us be more anchored in who you are. Guide us. Love on us. Lord, we love you. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.